Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
You know, throughout history, there have been many people who have claimed to be God. You ever stop to think about that? A lot of people throughout history have claimed to be God. In fact, even in the book of Daniel in chapter 3, where we read about Nebuchadnezzar and building the golden image and all of that, that he began to believe that he was God and that he should be worshiped as God. There were those who were members of imperial cults, for example, that believed that their leaders were God. For example, the ancient Egyptian pharaohs, many of them believed that they were a god and they were worshiped as a god. Some of the Roman emperors were worshiped as a god. In fact, I have here sticking in my Bible, I have about 12 pages of notes of just people who have been worshiped as a god. And really, that's not the entire list even, but just ones that were more notable that were worshiped as a god. Some received posthumous deification, which means after they died, people considered and gave them status as a god. Now, that's kind of got to make you wonder here, if because they had to die to get to this point, you know, really what kind of a god were they then, you know? And some of them, for example, was Imhotep, an ancient Egyptian architect and physician. Now, he wasn't a pharaoh, and he was deified after his death, and he died in about 2600 B.C. But there were those who then began to consider him a god. Buddha, all know who Buddha is, and he was worshipped as a god after his death. Alexander the Great, a name that was mentioned in Bible study Wednesday night, he was deified by many as being a god. And there were those who worshipped him as such during his lifetime. And quite frankly, Alexander the Great did nothing to stop it. He kind of enjoyed it, I believe, being deified and worshipped as a god. Probably really stroked his ego as people began to come up and tell him that he was a god. And going through this list, I found one person that I think will shock all of you that has been worshipped as a god by some. And it was our first president, George Washington. He is worshipped as a kami in Hawaiian Shinto shrines. In the United States Capitol Dome, he's depicted as ascending to heaven and becoming a god. And the famous painting called The Apotheosis of Washington that you can see at the Capitol Dome. And he is worshipped by some then as a god. And of course, there are many others who have declared themselves to be god or self-deification. One of the other most famous individuals from history, especially if you go back relating to biblical history, that was worshipped as a god and declared themselves to be God was Antiochus Epiphanes. And that was he lived between 215 and 164 BC. And what we remember about him is he was the ruler who came in and he created the abomination of desolation at the temple where he offered pigs as sacrifice upon the altar in the temple. And I've been doing some study on some of this lately, and what the Jews actually went about to clean up the mess that he left behind there, because they didn't want to have part in anything that he did as he deified himself and worshiped upon the altar, declaring himself to be a god. There was in the first century B.C. a man by the name of Simon Magnus who considered himself to be God and had his own little religion, Simonism. And according to Irenaeus, he was glorified by many as if he were a god. He taught that it was himself who appeared among the Jews as the Son, but descended in Samaria as the Father, while he came to other nations in the character of the Holy Spirit. He represented himself in a word as being the loftiest of all powers, that is, the being who is the Father over all, and he allowed himself to be called by whatever title men were pleased to address him. Some of these people had some really big egos that needed to be stroked here as they believed, and I think that they seriously believed within their minds that they were a god. There are many other names on the list that I have here of people who considered themselves to be God. One that died a few years back, and he lived in the lifetime of some of us that are present here, and he went by the name Father Divine, and he believed himself to be God as he went along and misled many people. Another name that many have heard of was a gentleman by the name of, and I kind of use that word gentleman loosely, I'm trying to be polite there, a man by the name of Jim Jones, who started out as a mainline Christian minister who became overwhelmed with, I don't know what, I know the enemy got into his life, I can tell you that, and he misled many people, and he was beginning to set himself up as a god. And of course, most of you remember the massacre of Jonestown that took place in Jonestown, Guyana, over 30 years ago. In fact, it's probably been closer to 40 years ago now that event happened, but he thought he was God. I remember when I was a younger kid, before I was a teenager, there was a man in the Los Angeles area who decided that he was God and that he could do whatever he wanted to do. And well, one of the husband of one of the congregants decided he was going to prove he wasn't God and blew him and his house up. And that ended his thinking he was God real quick. And there are others that are still alive right now that are going around and they are misleading people and telling people that they think or that they are God. In fact, if some of you may remember, there was a doctrine that was going around within the church that just a few years back, and it still may be going around. I haven't heard it as much anyway lately. And that was that we are now little gods. I got news for you. There's nothing in God's word that says we're ever going to be a god. We're never even going to come close to be a god. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a lot more abilities and a lot more things that we'll be able to do than we can do in this earthly physical body. But we will not and never will be a god. So if anybody thinks that, they need to get it through their head real quick. It ain't going to happen. You're never going to be a god. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Little children, it is the last time as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Now, Antichrists are one who basically go around and they may claim to be Christ, but they are a false Christ. They may claim to be a god, but they are a false god. And of course, we think about the Antichrist that we talk about that's in the book of Revelation, who is called also the beast and the dragon, and a couple of other names there that is gone by, and Daniel, he's the little horn, and all of these things that go on. But he is the last one that will come and claim to be God. But the Bible tells us that over this period of time, there have many people who have had that Antichrist spirit. There were those that were present even in the day of Jesus, just as I mentioned, this one Simon Magnus, who was in first century AD. He thought he was God and tried to mislead many people into that event. And so this title of God or Antichrist has been applied to many people in the past. And it is spoken about by Jesus as he's speaking about false Christs in Matthew chapter 24, verses 5 and 23 and 24. He's also referred to as the man of sins, described by Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 and 8 and 8 through 10. And he's also described as the beast from the sea in Revelation chapter 13 and Revelation chapter 17. So that's another one who says, "I am God." I want to talk to you about some people who have, or they, I should say, they would be God. Men who would be God. One of the greatest ones that, in as I was studying this week, that I found out about, that claimed and was setting himself up to be God, is a man that we've all heard of, a man that most of us kind of despise, and he was a man by the name of Adolf Hitler. You know, we think about Adolf Hitler and we think about his Third Reich and how he killed over 6 million Jews and the concentration camps and the ovens and the various things that they did to rid the world of the Jews. He had decided, almost like the Apostle Paul had back before he got saved, that he was going to do God a favor and get rid of the Christian, or the Christians is what Paul was getting rid of, and Adolf Hitler was getting rid of the Jews. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And we think about that, and that's mostly what we remember him about, was his the great Holocaust that took place, even though there are many people who today want to deny the existence that the Holocaust ever happened. I've got news for you. I know it's true. I know it happened. I've got photographs of some of the concentration camps that I have in my possession that show the bodies stacked up like cordwood as they were executed. But a lot of people don't know that the Jews weren't the only ones that Adolf Hitler had in mind to get rid of. You see, because Adolf Hitler had made an agreement, and I want to point out here there's some great similarities between Adolf Hitler and the Antichrist spoken of in the book of Revelation, some very great similarities, even though he was not that one spoken of in Revelation, but a lot of similarities, because he had made an agreement with Pope Pius XII. And Pope Pius XII, and let's be quite honest, it's history, a lot of church leaders, both Catholic and Protestant, were extremely anti-Semitic. A lot of them, including Martin Luther, wanted to get rid of the Jews. They thought it would be a great favor to God if they could get rid of the Jews. So Hitler had made an alliance and an agreement with Pope Pius XII. But all during this, he was setting himself up to take over and become God. During this particular time, he envisioned himself as a savior to a nation that was in need. He was going to fulfill this role, and as he grew in power, his religious tolerance disappeared, and he tried to replace Christianity with the New Reich Church. How many of you ever heard of that? A couple people. In this, there was a religion in which there was no God but Hitler. And since every religion needs a house of worship, Hitler developed a 30-point plan for the New Reich, the New National Reich Church, which was even published by the New York Times in 1942. And this was among some of the rules that would go into place in his church. No pastors, chaplains, or priests were allowed to speak in a church. Only National Reich orators, feeding you the party line. All Bibles and pictures of saints were removed from the church altars and replaced with copies of Mein Kampf. And by the way, he was going to confiscate the church buildings. He wasn't going to go out and build new buildings. He was going to confiscate what existed. The cross was removed and replaced with swastikas. Now, some of the things I've said here, doesn't that sound kind of like some of the stuff that we've been told lately by some of our so-called Christian leaders, that the way to make our church grow is to remove the cross, is to remove anything that reminds people that they're sinners, and you don't talk about sin, and you feed them a party line that's of how everything is hunky-dory and everything's going to be okay, and let's live life to the fullest, and you can be a winner. And I'll tell you, some of these guys have got some really good pep talks, but if they're leaving Jesus Christ out of it, if they're leaving the God of the universe out of it, it's all for nothing. Well, this was part of what Hitler put out. One of the most controversial things of the Reich Church involved the Bible. In my understanding, there was 100,000 copies printed of Hitler's Bible, or the Reich Bible. And Hitler, in this, wrote his own version of the Lord's Prayer, which was to be recited by Hitler's youth group. And if you've seen pictures of history going back, how the youth movement, how he fed this to the youth, how he invigorated them, how he drummed it into their minds that he was the supreme ruler. And this is how his Lord's Prayer version went. Adolf Hitler, you are our great Führer. Thy name makes the enemy tremble. Thy Third Reich comes. Thou will allow is thy will alone is law upon the earth. Let us hear daily thy voice and order us by thy leadership. For we will obey to the end, even with our lives. We praise thee, hail Hitler, Führer, my Führer, given me by God. Protect and preserve my life for long. You save Germany in times of need. I thank you for my daily bread. Be with me for a long time. Do not need me. Do not leave me. Führer, my faith, my light, hail my Führer. And this was to be recited daily by the youth of Germany. Hitler also had his own church. He had his own Bible. He even had his own hymns, which were being sung every day in the German schools. One of the songs kind of went like this. Adolf Hitler is our savior, our hero. He is the noblest being in the whole wide world. For Hitler we live, for Hitler we die. Our Hitler is our Lord who rules a brave new world. You know, I've told you many times that I believe, and I think historically, I can back it up, that before Jesus comes back, and the man of sin that the Bible talks about, that Antichrist that will take place during the tribulation period that will come into power, I think that during that time we see many forerunners of him. We will see many who are setting up the world and slowly but surely getting us ready for that one that is to come. Because a lot of times, when you go to make drastic changes, you can't do it all at once. People don't stand for it sometimes. That's in the business world. One of the things they teach you is you don't make drastic changes. But I think the world has been being prepped for a long time for that one who will come in and the world will fall down and worship him as God, as their Lord, as their Savior. During Hitler's reign, as I mentioned, 6 million Jews were exterminated like rats. And had he not stopped when he was through with the Jews, guess what? Christians were next on the list. They were to be exterminated as well. And during that time, many Christians were tortured and killed. Many pastors who would stand up and speak against him were put to death. Well, these are some of the people that would be God that we've had historically. But the Bible tells us of that one that is yet to come. The one that is spoken of in the book of Daniel, also spoken of in Revelations, spoken of in Thessalonians and other books of the Bible. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "And I saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn were 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy." Revelations 13, 5 through 7 goes on to say, "And there was given unto him a mouth, and he spoke great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to do 42 months. And he opened his mouth unto blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell on the earth. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given over every kindred and tongue and nation." The Bible tells us there is another person who would be God that is yet to come. I want you to think about something here. As we look around and we keep up with current events going on in the world, there are people out there today, if you gave them half a chance, they'd stand up and declare themselves God. Just think about it. There are people out there right now, if they thought they could pull it off, they would stand up and say, "I am God. You will worship me." That's kind of frightening in some ways to think about, that there's people like that out there that could stand up today and say, "I am God." You worship only me and no one else. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come, except there come a departing first, that the man of sin be disclosed, even the son of perdition, which is an adversary and exalteth himself against all that is called God or that is worshipped. So he doth set as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things." I just read there from 2 Thessalonians what Paul is writing of an event that is yet to come. But historically, we can look back and see there are those forerunners, those precursors that have come and gone. And each time one of these things happen, each time one comes and it is removed by whatever means from the scene, it just makes it a little easier for the next person who comes along and says, "I am God. I am God." Quite frankly, there are some people who've wanted to say and have said that our own president today is God. I got news, he's not. There is no God living on the face of planet Earth today, God that is in heaven. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus, all in heaven right now. Yes, the Holy Spirit dwells with us here on planet Earth, and God moves among His people, but He is not physically dwelling on planet Earth today. But the day will come that this man will appear and say, "I am God." I want to go back to Antiochus Epiphanes there. His great abomination of desolation was when he came into the temple and he desecrated it, offered the pigs upon the altar, did a lot of things that just really caused the Jews great concern there. In fact, it brought about the Maccabean Wars is what came as a result of it. And in our King James Bible, we don't have in the current edition, I'll have to tell you, in the actual 1611 edition it is there, but we don't have the Maccabeans in there. But historically speaking, if you can get a copy of that, read it for history, because it tells you the history of what went on during that 400 years just prior to the birth of Christ and some of the events that led up to the things that happened during the time that Jesus was on earth. He offered himself and set himself up to be God, a forerunner just a little over 2,000 years in advance of the one that Paul is talking about right here in Thessalonians, the one that will come in and will offer strange sacrifice upon the altar in the temple of God, one who will come in and declare himself to be God, that everyone will worship, and you won't get a choice. You either will or you'll lose your life. Simple as that. That is the day that is yet to come, but it's coming soon, and it's coming a lot faster than many people think. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, as I read them again, but this time from the Complete Jewish Bible. Here's what it says: "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come until after the apostasy has come, and the man who separates himself from Torah has been revealed, the one destined for doom. He will oppose himself to everything that people call a god and make an object of worship. And he will put himself above them all, so that he will sit in the temple of God and proclaim himself as God." The clock is ticking on that, and it's getting closer every day. There are those who would claim to be God. We as Christians need to be vigilant. And I think everyone seated here in this building this morning is aware of these things that will happen and will take place. And I don't think any one of us sitting in here this morning would be deceived by someone who got up and claimed to be God. But there are people who are listening to me by other means today. And maybe you're not quite aware of some of these things. And today I say to you, if some man stands up and says, I am God, look the other way. Run, because he is not God. There is only one true God, and he sits in heaven right now on his throne. But one of these days, he's sending Jesus back to come for us. He's sending Jesus to come back and gather his children home. He's sending Jesus back to establish his kingdom here. That day is yet to come. You want to be a part of that kingdom? You want to worship the true God? Then the way you do it is by accepting Jesus Christ into your heart and life as Savior. That's the only way you're going to be able to do it. That's the only way you're ever going to get to heaven. There is not going to be a heaven here on earth until after Jesus, the Messiah, comes back and sets up his kingdom. And anyone that tells you anything different is telling you a lie. And if you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to let you know that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to invite him into your heart. You need to say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me your child. I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.